When NAFTA took effect in 1994, it changed everything for many of the people living in rural Mexico. Young men began leaving for the U.S., where they could make more money in a few months than they could at home in a year. The story of their journeys has been told many times in the years since, but what about the women they left behind? Our next guest argues that their stories, too, tell us a lot about migration and how it drives globalization. Nora Hahn is a cultural anthropologist at North Carolina State University, and her new book highlights some of those women's stories. It's called Marriage After Migration, An Ethnography of Money, Romance, and Gender in Globalizing Mexico. I spoke with her more about it recently and asked her why she took this approach to such a broad and controversial issue.
Well, I would say because I thought the larger conversations were kind of missing the way everyday people live international migration. The topic kind of hit me over the head because I was carrying out my research in southern Mexico, and I've been coming and going from this one part of Mexico for about 25 years. And 25 years ago, people were not migrating to the United States. So about 20 years ago, around 2000, it was kind of like an explosion. Within the space of a year or two, migration was on everybody's tongues. Hmm. And so I got to see what it looked like, you know, from the ground when it first launches and what that does to families and especially the women who don't travel.
Right, right. So let's talk about some of those women. So in the book, you follow the lives of five women whose husbands or sons are working in the U.S. and have followed these kind of migration patterns. Can you tell us about some of them?
So in the book, I feature, you know, mothers and wives. One mother would be Cornelia. And so she kind of represents, you know, what marriage looked like before migration ever took off. She was about 60 years old when I met her. And when she married as a young woman, she moved in with her in-laws, which was common and remains common in this part of Mexico. And so before migration, you know, what you had was young couples living with older couples. And this meant that daughters-in-laws basically went to work for their mothers-in-laws. Mm-hmm. And this is going to have a huge impact on international migration because when young men travel, it means that both wives and their mothers have a claim to his earnings.
Hmm. So that very much affects the result, right, of the point of the migration, which is to make some of the money.
Exactly, exactly. You know, they always say they're doing it to pull their family ahead. They're doing it for family goals. But, you know, families are filled with different people who have different goals themselves.
So let's talk about the effect of the migration on women's lives, on those mothers, on those wives. It definitely plays out a little differently for them back at home, essentially.
Yeah. So when young men migrate and start sending money back to Mexico, I mean, in this part of Mexico, we really kind of can't understate how important this money was. When people were first starting to migrate to the United States, the average income in this part of Mexico was $4,300 a year. And that would include multiple people contributing to the household income. Mm-hmm. And of course, young men in the United States were earning that much in a few short months. So when they start sending that money home, you know, the enormous relief from grinding poverty. People don't have to worry about where their next meal is going to come from. They don't have to worry about school fees. And especially for older women, again, these are the mothers of those young men, they don't necessarily have a kind of social security, a pension or anything. So when they're looking at their waning years where they're not going to have any income, having a working son in the United States is essential to their livelihood.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. What about the way the family structure was affected? You mentioned sort of that mother and daughter-in-law relationship also, but what about their relationships with their husbands, with their sons? I mean, how do these change with migration?
Yeah, this one is a little bit complicated because on the one hand, young men are going to the United States. And I should say that in this part of Mexico, they really kind of see the United States as a place where it's easy to make money. Mm-hmm. They really don't see the challenges that we see. It's easy to make money. And as long as you know, keep your head up, do the right thing. And by doing the right thing, don't spend your money on drinking. Mm-hmm. Don't spend your money on womanizing, on all the what they call vices in Mexico, you know, then you should be on easy street. So women start to see a man mainly through one as a paycheck because mm-hmm. they're thinking there's going to be a lot of money, but then there's also this fear, you know, is he going to be caught up in those vices? And does that mean he's going to kind of get stuck in the United States somehow?
And there's also this really interesting narrative that you sketch out in here about how the gender roles for especially some of these younger women shift as their husbands leave or come back.
Yeah, this is really, really remarkable. And it's, I think, kind of key to understanding the migratory journey for the family as a whole. So young women, and again, we're talking about women in their late teens and early 20s, and they've grown up in this system where they're kind of expected to be demure, to listen to their husbands, and in their husband's absence, they're supposed to listen to their mothers-in-laws. But with their husband away, they have to take on new responsibilities.
Can you tell us about Aurora, who really broke this mold?
Oh, yeah, Aurora. So I first met Aurora when she was, you know, 13 years old. And Aurora basically worked for her mother grinding the corn for the tortillas. She ground the masa. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, about 10 years later, this sweet 13-year-old is all over the gossip networks as being some kind of scandalous migrant wife. And, so I know I couldn't picture it at all. And so I went to talk to her to say, you know, what happened? What was this like for you? And, you know, it turned out that when her husband went to the United States, she had a lot of people talking to her, saying things like, you know, he's been gone a long time. He's probably not coming back. I heard he's got another wife in the United States. Mm-hmm. And she started to get scared. And she's thinking, I got to take care of myself. I have three kids. And so she gets a job. Hmm. And this was considered incredibly scandalous. The place she got the job was even more scandalous because it was in a cantina.
Right.
So she's serving beer to men. And I would say probably the most scandalous part of her story was that she liked this job.
She had fun.
Not only that, but, you know, when I met her, she was a workhorse. At 13, she was working for her parents. And then when she got married, she worked for her husband and her children. And now she's earning an income. Mm-hmm. And she's finding people value her work.
So, you know, what is this focus on women on the effect that not their migration, but their husband's or son's migration has on their lives? What do you think this tells us about this broader phenomena that may be the common story about men in traveling or migrating or sending back money maybe doesn't?
Well, I don't think we see how much women are shaping this process. Mm. You know, they even call it male labor migration, as if the women weren't part of the story. But, you know, male labor migration requires a counterpart. It requires women who don't travel, who are also kind of holding up their end of the family situation. Mm-hmm. And I think these women are shaping migration in ways we generally don't see. They can shape it by, you know, keeping together a marriage against all odds and giving a man a place to go home to. They can shape a marriage by leaving their marriage, by ending their marriage in divorce. And so if a woman chooses to leave her marriage, he might feel like he's got nothing to go back to, and then he might remain in the United States and form a new family.
All right. That's Nora Hahn, cultural anthropologist at North Carolina State University and author of the new book, Marriage After Migration. Nora, thank you so much for coming on.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.